Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Welcome to another episode of Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and it's a delight to be with you once again. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Great to be with you.
Are you staying warm?
Trying to.
Well, we just have to focus in our heart, right, and generate the warmth of the heart. Well, we are going to continue our discussion, our month-long discussion on love, wisdom. It's such an interesting relationship. So many people actually kind of scratch their head, right, Dorothy, when you mention love, wisdom as a concept, as two concepts put together as one expression. So we're going to talk about what gets in the way of expressing this love, wisdom. But before that, maybe just a few words on their relationship. So I would say, Dorothy, that when we talk about love in this way, in relationship to wisdom, we're talking about an unconditional love, an understanding that we are interconnected, that we are interdependent. And it is an understanding of that relationship that is inherent to all human beings. So it's a little bit beyond, or quite a bit beyond, this sort of personal love that we think of. And wisdom is about relationship as well. It is about the livingness and the knowledge that we are all connected. So when you put them together and you sort of live from that place, it generates quality of a very unique quality of presence that is embodies, right? Consideration, it embodies cooperation and compassion, empathy, all of that. Anything you'd like to add? How was that, Dorothy?
Well, I think that's great. I would just like to qualify it a bit, because I think when we hear the term unconditional, we can equate that with kind of an anything goes. And I just wanted to share with our listeners, I'm going to give a quote from the Dalai Lama in just a moment for this particular show. But one of the times that I heard the Dalai Lama speak, he took questions from the audience. And one of the questions that he got was, is it ever appropriate to kill someone? It wasn't just harm, to kill someone. And I'm sure from the way the question was phrased that the asker was expecting him to say, no, it's never okay, you know, as a Buddhist, that he would say that. And what he said instead was, it is not only okay, but it is... He didn't say required, but basically it is what you should do if someone is generating bad karma by harming others. You need to stop that cycle of the bad karma, but you have to do it from a position of compassion. You can't do it from a position of hostility or anger. So with compassion and love, you put restraints on the person, or you put final restraints. So very much like what we talk about as tough love. So the caring is there, but it's not anything goes. And to me, that's what the wisdom is about, is sound judgment of how that energy is applied, how it works out in the world.
Yes, like a deep understanding of consequence, even of this idea of cause and effect.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. When I say unconditional, I think for me, that means a personal versus impersonal. So I appreciate that distinction. Very good. Yeah. How about a quote? The lovely Dalai Lama, always full of wisdom.
So the quote I picked out for today is, "People take different roads seeking fulfillment and happiness. Just because they are not on your road doesn't mean they've gotten lost."
Mm. Wow.
And
that
I thought that was a beautiful expression of the fact that, you know, we live our lives in many different, we live out our lives in many different ways. And one of the things that gets in our way, and one of the reasons why we might think that they got lost, is we forget that we actually are all part of the one life. We all share in common an energetic field. We are all part of each other. Even the people that we don't like or we don't respect, we are connected to them. And so one of the barriers to expressing love wisdom is a belief that there is not a commonality, that somehow some people are better than other people, or at least different from other people.
Yes. Criticism. We've talked about that quite a bit, right? That, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not on my path, or how could that make you happy and fulfilled? That's just ridiculous. You know, it's this this incessant criticism that plagues humanity, really. It definitely gets in the way of love wisdom.
Yeah, and actually within the Ageless Wisdom teachings, criticism is one of the faults that is mentioned over and over again, because it creates separativeness, the great heresy of separativeness, of
indeed.
Believing that somehow we are different from and separate from other people.
It's called dangerous, as we mentioned that word last week, but I know it's called in the Ageless Wisdom dangerous and a heresy, right?
Right.
But it's true. I mean, when you think about it, and just give it a try, you know, really try to go a week without criticizing, and for your criticisms to be, you know, we've talked about critical thinking and that being different than criticism, and trying to notice when your words or thoughts or actions create separativeness, not distinction, but separativeness between you and another. And, you know, I heard that the interview between President Obama and Prince Harry talking about the internet, and he is so wise. You know, we were talking last week about Oprah and her wisdom. I think I've never heard such a wise speaker as Barack Obama. And he was talking, he's so eloquent, and he was talking about the internet and just basically saying that this technology, although it connects us, it also can divide us, because, you know, we find ourselves in little groups, and it doesn't promote ways of finding common ground. And he basically was saying that people find themselves in these little chat rooms or these ideologies, and they get just, you know, one idea put on the other. And if it turns out that that idea is filled with discrimination or separativeness or cruelty or hate toward another, it's so easy to find others that have a like mind. And with no sort of interaction with anybody else, you become very isolated. And what he was saying was, you basically have to get out, you know, and meet people. You've got to get offline, get out in communities, meet somebody, and connect with them, even if you don't like them. Meet in a pub, you know, get to know each other. And it might turn out that you might say face to face, "Well, you know, you're more complex than I thought. You know, maybe you're a good dad, or we like the same baseball team." But in a sense, find something you've got in common. But that the internet can be very dangerous in the ways that it separates us. It's very
I think that is so true, and it's also the internet is based on language, right, that we use, and we need to be careful about that language. We were talking last week about the fact that people are multidimensional, they're not unidimensional, but we tend to use language that is unidimensional. So we say, he's a white supremacist. Well, he's not a white supremacist. He may believe in that ideology, but he may also be a father, a soccer coach, a husband, police lieutenant. There are many other aspects to what he does and who he is. And that complexity gets lost in the language that we use, and also in that dynamic on the internet that you were describing.
Yeah, and it's a two-way street. People start to believe that they are their ideologies as well. You know, and it's where we really need to come together as human beings, actually be in relation. Again, that word relation with love, wisdom. You know, that's where we find our commonalities. So again, that what gets in the way of love, wisdom is this, you know, lack of commonality. And it does, you know, the internet certainly does, as much as it connects us, boy, oh boy, does it have a tendency to keep us in separation. Indeed, we need to get together. We talk about that so much on the show, right, Dorothy, that, you know, it's really about action. It's really about, it's one thing to have these ideas and spout them, but man, you've got to put it to action. And mm-hmm. as soon as you do, you will see, you know, if that action is really, you know, if that action really doesn't apply to the way that life works, it will report that back to you. But if it just stays mm-hmm. in your head, it's not so useful. You've got to get out there and put it into use. In both ways.
Yeah.
In both the good and the bad. Yeah.
That's part of where we have the love wisdom together, is the wisdom is the application of the love energy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right there in our topic, it's contained.
Beautiful. Dorothy, we're going to go to our first break. Wonderful conversation. We will pick it up where we left off just after these messages.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit wendyrosewilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit janiceunderwood.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion of barriers that get in the way, that barriers to expressing love wisdom. And one of those is the desire to protect one's self, this idea of really being cut off from the whole and really needing to protect oneself, being cut off. So that's an aspect of it, because we need to feel that interconnection, right, Dorothy?
Yeah, and the irony is that we often feel that in order to protect ourselves, we have to close off. And
right.
Yet by closing off, we no longer have the protection of the energy flow of the whole. So it is very much a contradiction.
We talked about that a lot last week about being seen, the need to be met. You know, I find that, you know, I ran a bar for 25 years in New York City, and people would just say, how did you do that? You know, in the West Village. And, you know, it and now running a retreat center in Massachusetts. And it is that I understand that people just need to be met. You know, you would see people that would just, they were really just going to, you know, they were just going to ease the pain with alcohol. Mm-hmm. But if you just met them as another human being, you saw that actually all of that wasn't necessary, that they came alive. These were people that were really in so many ways shut down and just needed an ear or just needed a kind gesture or someone to look them in the eyes and say, I hear you. And, you know, it was beautiful. It was for me always beautiful to recognize that in another human being. And you could feel the love between you and a stranger in just minutes when someone would waltz in. And really, it wasn't that they wanted to sort of drown the misery. They just needed to be heard, you know, beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think also that part of that is that protectiveness is, you know, wanting to make sure that we are appreciated, we are seen, and one of the, you know, so we make it an all or nothing. You know, either we're the center of attention or we're nothing, and one of the sayings that I have from my mother that I've always appreciated is she would say to me, you're not always center stage.
Yeah.
So in other words, life can be going on. You can still be important. You know, you can still be part of it, but you're not necessarily the one in the spotlight because something else needs to be happening right there. And so I can be with an open heart without having to be protective. I can be, even though I am not in the spotlight, and I can feel just fine. That's the state that I want to be in order to be living and expressing love wisdom.
And it really is it's the ego, right? That wants to protect itself. You know, it wants to stay contained, and in a way it wants to stay individual and almost energetically separated so it is whole in and of itself. But the ego has to step out and realize it is part of something greater. It is part of something bigger, and it takes trust. You know, we, some of us are scared. We're scared to connect to another because what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me, capital M? And you mentioned your mom. It makes me think of really the one time in my life, I think I was in my early 30s, when I really understood the truest sense of the vibration of love, that my mom had suffered a stroke, a very bad stroke. And I only lived 3 hours away, and in New York City, I could take a train straight to Pennsylvania from New York. And I was committed to going to see her, you know, twice a month, as much as I could. And I would, every time I would talk about it, people would ask about my mom, and I would immediately say, I'm going home to see her, and I'm this and me this, and I'm a good son. And in my mind, I was thinking, I've got to be the good son, and I've got to do this. And it was me. And although I thought I was being so selfless, and I thought I was, you know, doing such, I was being so good and so loving, really it was all about me. And just a few days and weeks with my mom, and looking her in the eyes and just being there for her as a human being, just opened my heart to realizing, you know, she just needs love. She just needs someone to be here. It's not about me at all. And my heart just opened, and I think it was the first time I really experienced love in a way that had nothing to do with me. And I was, and then you realize actually I was scared, and I was, there was a lot of me in there. And so I was actually protecting myself in so many ways, and it was keeping me cut off to what was necessary, which was just simply love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of our challenge, Steve, comes from the fact that, I mean, if you think about it from a perspective of continuity of consciousness, or that we live a number of lives, which some of our listeners may agree with, some may not. But if you think of it from that perspective, then you have, what you have is this cosmic energy field, which we know quantum physics has verified for us is what we are all part of. And it's verified that we are actually energetic beings. We're these wavelengths. So we come into being, we come into physical being, and what we're doing, what we're having to learn, first of all, is how to separate ourselves out of this huge cosmic energy field. So the process of individuation, of experiencing ourselves as individuals, is an important one. Mm-hmm. But it's what leads us, what can lead us then to feel that we are separated from everybody else. So then our next challenge is to remember that we are part of the whole, that we're both this unique, separate individual, and we are interconnected and part of the whole. And that, to me, is actually the challenge of human existence, is being able to hold both of those awarenesses at once. And that's how we express love wisdom, is knowing that we are connected and knowing that we have our own individual heart center from which we could express that connectedness.
Yes, we talked about that a bit last week, huh? About this idea of the personality and the soul. Mm-hmm. And it's what you're really talking about, this idea of ego versus soul, which is that soul that lives on, that continues our own individual consciousness, but that we're here as an individual with a personality that will do things its own way. But if we can realize that we're part of that bigger whole all along, I've always loved it described as a vehicle, you know, that the personality is a vehicle for the soul. And so if we realize that we've all got our own brain, we've got our own heart, we've got our own emotions, but yet stay connected to the greater, to the bigger, it allows so much to come in, right? It allows so much to for us to receive so much in the way of love and in the way of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Just as a side note for our listeners, I don't know if anybody out there has read this book, but it was one of the first books that gave me some awareness of that interconnectedness, and that's Jane Roberts' book, The Education of Oversoul 7. Did you ever read that, Steve?
No, I didn't. Oversoul 7. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. So the oversoul is that soul that manifests in a number of different personalities, and it talks about how the soul, the oversoul, is having to account for how it works with and supports four different personalities, one in 10,000 BC, one in the 17th century, one in the 20th century, one in the 24th century, all happening simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
It's really neat. It's like a Wrinkle in Time is another book about, you know, how you get the fact that time is just a construct that we use. It's not real in and of itself. And it's that awareness is, to me, part of recognizing that we are part of this whole, that we can express this love wisdom.
And receive it, right, Dorothy? I mean, that there is a, as always, when we discuss these, we go very deep into these very particular concepts. There's a vibration that always sort of is generated or comes to the forefront for me anyway. And it's that we've got to realize that there is breadth. You know, there is so much spaciousness that's necessary with love and wisdom. And it's a spaciousness which allows that in, but it's a spaciousness which allows the fullness of our being to express as well. So in everything that you're saying, I'm hearing even this spaciousness of the breadth of time. You know, that's so huge to think of all of those centuries. But as you've got to step back to realize in the various ways and see and allow yourself to appreciate the various ways that we are all interconnected. It takes breadth, you know, but once you find that, you receive so much as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Dorothy, we're at another break already. So we are going to go to a few messages and we will be right back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Set your intention for 2018 at Spirit Fire's annual New Year's Meditation Retreat. Find yourself at the peaceful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts this January for a weekend of meditation, amazing food, and planning. Planning to have the most exciting year ever. Visit upcoming events at spiritfire.com for more info. Happy meditating!
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Choose the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Before we continue our discussion on love wisdom, I'd love to tell you a little bit about our organizations. Dorothy, would you like to begin?
Yes. Listeners, this Spirit Fire Radio is a conscious collaboration between two educational nonprofit organizations, Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. I'm with the School for Esoteric Studies, and you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We provide esoteric discipleship training for people who have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen. We do that through meditation, study, and service. And several years ago, we decided that we wanted to begin a conscious initiative of reaching out to collaborate with other like-minded groups. So if you as a listener belong to a group that would be interested in collaborating with the School for Esoteric Studies, you'll find information about that collaboration at esotericstudies.net. And Spirit Fire is one of our collaborations that we are very excited about. This radio program is one of the projects that we're doing together. And it's a delight to work with you, Steve.
Yes. If we could all just lead every moment as if it was a conscious collaboration, right? Is the universe just not consciously collaborating with us to create the now? So I am with Spirit Fire, which is as well an educational nonprofit focused on generating awareness and reminding people of the importance of bringing spirituality into your everyday life. And we do that through online classes, an online meditation program called The Practice of Living Awareness. And we're doing a round of meditations right now. It's free online. You can find out more about that and our programs and our retreat center where we host meditation retreats at spiritfire.com. And indeed, this is a lovely collaboration. And Dorothy, right? It generates. We've been generating love wisdom, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
It really does come from. It really comes from participating with another and seeing what you have in common, seeing what another in our instance, what can this organization, you know, what do they bring to the table that's different from us that we can learn from? And what do we bring to the table that's different? And when we put that all together, we generate something new. And there's a, it just, it's got that love wisdom vibe to it. It's beautiful.
That's right. That's right. So, and one of the things that gets in the way, Steve, that we're going to talk about is the whole issue of being unwilling to release anger or hurt, or indeed release an attachment to being harmful to others. So anything that blocks energy will block the energy of love wisdom.
Yeah, that cuts it off, if you will, right? We've said that a lot. You can just feel when we're hurt, we feel cut off from the whole. Or when we're angry, we are in separation deliberately, right? You over there, you either stay there or I'm going to come over and show you the difference between you and me. And it keeps us, it is in separation. And so we can't be open to, we're not open to that largesse that we were talking about in the last segment.
And I want to refer back to the month that we spent on forgiveness. And we talked about the importance of releasing anger, releasing pain, as being important for ourselves. We're not doing it for somebody else. We're doing it for ourselves, because as long as we hold on to that knot of energy, we are not part of the free flow of the cosmic energy field. We have cut ourselves off.
And we talked a bit as well about transformation, did we not? You know, and that's the beauty. That is where wisdom arises, right? I mean, once we make a choice to effort, you know, it takes effort. Again, we're talking back to effort. But once we make a choice to heal for ourselves, to release hurt and anger, to explore, even be open to it, to feeling it and moving beyond it, you know, it is transformation takes place, and it takes time. And it is within that transformation that we learn so much, and we come to understand the various ways that we are supported through our interconnectedness. So it generates love wisdom just from the very moment you move toward inclusiveness, or you move toward healing, which is making something whole again, which is inclusive by nature, you know, you start to generate that in some way.
That's so true. And the, I think one of the important points is that while we talk about love, wisdom, and we say that it's the basic energy of our universe and it's so important, whenever we harm ourselves, which we can do by, you know, hanging on to resentments and past hurts, or we harm other people, whether it's through what we think of them or what we say to them or how we act, we are cutting ourselves off from that energetic whole. And it's not possible for us to be expressing that loving energy. And I guess that what concerns me, Steve, is I find that many people aren't aware of the frequency with which harm is modeled for us. It's modeled in the language that we use. It's modeled in what we see in the media. It's modeled in the ways in which, you know, the tweets that come out, whatever it is, it's so pervasive that people don't even pay attention to it.
Well, and that the objective of that harm is often the suppression of expression.
That's right. That's right.
And that is what gets so harmful. You know, we were talking about Oprah's speech last week, and one of the things that was so powerful about that speech is the information that came through. She was talking about a woman who I'd never heard of, Recy Taylor, who was coming home from church in 1944 in Alabama, and she was abducted by six armed white men and raped and blindfolded. And she told this story about an NAACP worker who took her case, and it was none other than Rosa Parks, who would many years later, 11, something like 10 or 11 years later, choose not to get up out of her seat in the whites-only section of the bus and really begin the civil rights movement. And here I had no idea that, you know, that she was even a part of that. And so much comes forward from that. Number one is that, you know, this Recy Taylor was very scared and was, you know, did at that time there was no justice for somebody. You know, she would have, you know, she couldn't come forward and express and speak her truth about what happened to her. And it took even 11 years for someone to make a real move that would elicit change. And they said she had just died a few days ago and lived a very full life, but that her truth is being revealed now. You know, you can see how harm that is really, it is in systematic, you know, that even the expression of her experience coming out to our greater knowledge, we all know who Rosa Parks is, but that incident probably inspired her so much so, you know, to make that move of staying seated on that bus in Montgomery. And here we didn't even know about Recy Taylor. And that, I think, is a part of this harm you're talking about that we don't even realize how it's so much a part of our system. It's the result of that harm that we are only hearing about her today. It does take time, but it's wild to me.
Yeah, and I think I've shared before on this program the fact when we were talking about harmlessness, the fact that when I was writing my book on positive harmlessness in practice, I contacted the organization that keeps track of hate crimes in the United States and pointed out that on their list of hate groups and hate crimes, they did not deal with misogyny. And the response I got back was it was so pervasive that they couldn't, you know, single it out. I mean, that would be all that would be on the website would be misogyny. And you have, you know, as Oprah said when she gave her talk and in response to questions, is that, you know, she doesn't know any woman who has not experienced sexual harassment, sexual abuse. And so it's coming out now through the Me Too movement, but we have a long ways to go before we are really aware of all of the many, many ways in which we generate harm and thereby cut off this love, wisdom, energy, which is so critical to our common good.
Yeah, you know, I really respect that. You know, she did say a new day is dawning. You know, she certainly didn't say it's here. She said we got a long way to go. And what I really respect is so many of these powerful Hollywood women are saying, listen, this isn't about us. We're privileged. It is about the people whose names we'll never know. You know, it's about the domestic workers and the farm workers and the factory workers and on up. But that, you know, it is so prevalent. And again, that Me Too, you know, once again, she explicitly said it's one thing to create a hashtag, but you've got to get out there and do something. You got to set up a legal defense fund and put a bunch of $1 million in it. You know,
right.
You've got to get out there and do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we will. We're going to go to another break and continue this conversation. And we will be right back after this.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Isn't it time to put your health first, to give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. I just wanted to pick up the conversation where we left off. We were talking about the Me Too movement and its relationship to love, wisdom. We were talking about, you know, about speaking your truth and having the opportunity to speak your truth and releasing hurt and anger and the process of that. But there's an aspect of being accountable for your actions, you know, that, you know, if we refuse to be, take responsibility, if we refuse to be, take accountability, we cut ourselves off from love, wisdom. You know, we might think it, again, comes almost back to protecting ourselves, Dorothy, which is what we were talking about earlier, that, you know, responsibility is a keynote of the soul, which is, you know, I am willing to take responsibility for my actions. And I think we've seen in some instances of this whole sort of movement, we've seen people come to the forefront and say, you know, I want to speak my truth, and it is not one I'm proud of, but I want to, in a sense, what they're saying energetically is I'd like to come back in the game. I'd like to connect. I'd like to reconnect, you know, because I've been cut off from my truth. Yeah.
Well, and I think that, you know, when we think of it, I really like what you shared about responsibility being the keynote of the soul, because if we think about the soul as representing that or encompassing that connective energy, which is love, wisdom, then we know that when we are responsible for our actions, when we are when we're acting from a position of detachment rather than attachment, when we are focused on the common good, then we are part of that energetic flow, which is love, wisdom. And so responsibility is absolutely key. And I think, you know, relating it again to the Me Too movement, we've seen very different responses from various males that have been accused or that have recognized their own behavior. We have some who have absolutely denied that they have done anything, including our U.S. president. We have people who, through the process of being accused, become aware of what they have done and publicly begin to take steps to change that. And I think of people like Senator Al Franken. And then we have people who, men who actually are resigning on their own without having to go through the process of publicly being accused, because they recognize that their behavior is problematic and that they need to do something about that. So differing degrees of responsibility and willing to be accountable.
And it must be following one's inner wisdom, right? When you say, you know, that they realize, there's got to be some wisdom involved there, and there's got to be some heart involved there, right? Because on some level, they care. Even if it's just that they care to tell the truth, on some level, caring is an aspect. And on the other on the other side of the hyphen, there is an observation of their actions. There is some discernment, and that begets wisdom. So, mm-hmm. you know, even on the most simple level, there is love wisdom involved in those who would come forward. So, you know, without going really into this idea of I want to connect to everyone, it's mm-hmm. just that I'm connecting to my truth, and there's heart there, and I have received the wisdom that this is the wise thing and the right thing and the moral thing to do, right?
Right. And then we have, by contrast, we have President Trump, who feels perfectly free to say whatever he believes will work to his benefit in a particular situation. And that I've lost track of the number. I think the New York Times or one of the publications has been keeping track of the various lies that he's told. It's like 5, 6, 7 in a day. Yeah. It's not just a matter of, you know, like once a week or something like that. And the, I think what's important for us to recognize about that is that it's not just that it's a behavior that we don't want to condone, and a behavior that we have to be exercise caution about, because we have to be continually fact-finding and figuring out what is and is not truth. But by doing that, he is, in a sense, shredding the energetic field that holds us together, the love wisdom that encompasses all of that. He is, if you think of it as a web that connects us, he's busily chopping off at the various strands of that web by all of these lies and all of this focus on self-interest. It's a much more damaging dynamic than I think is sometimes recognized.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep thinking of the word cohesion. You know, we talked about coherence. And mm-hmm. when you say that we are all scrambling to find the truth, it's true. And you hear the word distraction come up a lot. And what it does is it actually keeps us from being together and in cooperation, because we're also angry and critical all the time, because we're being forced to be critical. But what it does is it keeps us in separation. And then as someone in power, he uses that to his advantage in a very, you know, in a really, in a megalomaniacal way that is self-serving indeed, and could only happen from someone in that position of power. So it is very interesting, you know, just to go back to Oprah as we begin to wrap this show up, just to say, you know, that somebody asked her in that interview afterwards, well, these are very different times. What do you say a year later and things are so crazy? And she basically said, you know, when it gets to this point, she just says, here's an opportunity for powerful growth. That, you know, how do we use this opportunity to elevate ourselves mm-hmm. from what's happening? And what you hear in that, in what her's saying, is the word we, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
right.
How do we elevate? How do we still maintain this, you know, understanding that we are all still united and together and rise above it?
Mm-hmm.
May it be so. May it be so. Right, Dorothy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think the main thing is to recognize that while on the one hand, the energy or the web of love wisdom is a very powerful one, there is also a certain kind of fragility. We can decimate it. We can undermine it if we don't exercise care and responsibility and accountability.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing how much just caring for oneself actually helps us generate to care for another. And it is a process. You know, it really is a process, as you say, that balance of being an individual, which we all are, but constantly understanding that we are a part of a greater whole. And mm-hmm. that balance between the two, you know, is constant. It's mm-hmm. constant. Well, Dorothy, we are going to wrap this show up. Listeners, next week, we're going to give you some pointers on ways to generate love wisdom. We've been talking about its importance, what gets in the way, what is it, and how do we generate love wisdom, some very practical means by which to do that. And if you have anything you'd like to bring into the conversation, send us an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. And once again, esoteric, y'all, you say it, Dorothy. I always say
EsotericStudies.net.
EsotericStudies.net for more on the School for Esoteric Studies, and SpiritFire.com if you would like to learn more about SpiritFire. And you can always listen to our archives. Dorothy, we've almost done an entire year. Can you believe it?
It's amazing.
It is amazing. So there are so many archives, so many wonderful shows at SpiritFireRadio.com, and just search for us on Transformation Talk Radio. Well, Dorothy, it's been a delight, and I look forward to being with you once again next week.
Yes. Take care, listeners.
All right. Bye, listeners. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit SpiritFireRadio.com.